This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Donald Trump and his son, Eric, seem to have a problem understanding what sexual harassment is. In interviews this week, both father and son have made statements indicating that the egregious practice is optional or the fault of the victim. The controversy began when Trump was asked about Fox News head Roger Ailes, who had stepped down from his position after being accused of sexual harassment by several employees. Trump said about his own daughter Ivanka that if she experienced sexual harassment in the workplace, quote, I would like to think she would find another career or find another company. In attempting to do damage control, Trump's son Eric then said, Ivanka is a strong, powerful woman. She wouldn't allow herself to be subjected to that. It has now been revealed that two former employees of Trump were fired after they brought up allegations for sexual harassment. One woman who has accused Donald Trump himself of sexually harassing her, Jill Harth, said in a statement, quote, Trump's remarks continue to demonstrate his lack of understanding and empathy for women in the real world. My guest is Lisa Bloom. She's a trial attorney at the Bloom Firm and legal analyst for Avvo, and she represents Jill Harth. Welcome to the program, Lisa.
Thanks, Sonali. Always great to be here.
So first, these statements by Donald Trump really were in response to what's been happening at Fox News, which I think is quite relevant since Fox News is the outlet that the Republican Party relies on so heavily. And it seems as though the two most high-profile female employees, Megyn Kelly and Gretchen Carlson, have found this contradiction in the Republican Party. They're both women, they're both conservative women, but they don't seem to want to be silenced by the sexual harassment they experienced. How important is this Fox News backdrop to this story?
Well, you've put your finger on the most important part of the story that nearly everybody else in the media has missed, and that is this all began with Donald Trump saying that he's siding with Roger Ailes. Roger Ailes, who, according to reports, has now been accused by 25 women of sexual harassment, including Megyn Kelly, their star anchor who still works for him, including Gretchen Carlson, who didn't get her contract renewed, she says, after she opposed his sexual harassment. Donald Trump had a choice to make. He could have done nothing. He could have said, gee, that's in litigation. I'm gonna stay away from it. But he chose to side with Roger Ailes. And then the follow-up question from the journalist was, what if that was your daughter? And he said, well, she should just find another career. You know, we don't all have a billionaire daddy to help us just find another career if we're sexually harassed. And the whole idea is so offensive. It undermines a generation of progress that feminists have made, standing up for our workplace rights. We don't have to choose between our dignity and our careers. We get to have both. We get to stay. And the person who should find another career, the person who should find another job or another company, is the perpetrator, the sexual harasser. That's the guy who should have to go. We get to keep our jobs.
Right. Now, Lisa, it's taken women decades to actually have workplaces where their rights are legally protected. And we now live in a world where, at least in theory, the managers of a company are, you know, supposed to get training in sexual harassment. It's a very, very sort of clear issue in the law. Donald Trump is the head of a, you know, multi-million dollar business. His son, Eric, these are all people who should, you would think, know and understand this very important issue. What did their statements reveal to you about how these people are running their businesses?
Well, I can tell you what my client Jill Harth has said. She has maintained since her lawsuit in 1997 that when she was trying to do a business deal with Donald Trump, he was groping her under the table. He was coming on to her. Every time she would call him about a business matter, he would say, hey, baby, and, you know, hit on her. And culminating in an incident at Mar-a-Lago in the 1990s, which was then his home, one of his homes in Florida, where he forced her into Ivanka's bedroom and forcibly groped her, putting his hands up her dress. And she says she pushed him off. She and her husband then left. They were supposed to spend the night in a guest room, but she was so flustered that they left. And she ultimately sued him for sexual harassment. And that was a case that was settled back in the 1990s. But she maintains to this day that her allegations are true. And her now ex-husband, George, who was there at the time, backs her up. Donald Trump and his team have asked her to recant those allegations now that he's running for president. For a long time, she was silent because she just didn't want to relive the painful memories. But, you know, him saying that he's never sexually harassed anyone and Ivanka saying publicly, my dad is not a groper, was just too much for her. And she decided to speak out publicly. And I'm proud to represent her and all of the other women who I represent on a daily basis here at my law firm standing up against sexual harassment. It is a big problem for women. It's one of the drivers of wage inequality because many women do leave because they're afraid to stand up for their rights. And guess what? When you leave your job, you usually take a dip in income because you're unemployed for a period of time. Then you probably have to take a lower paying job and start all over again. It takes a long time to rise up. And that's one of the big reasons why women are still only earning about 69 cents for every dollar a man earns, because there's still so much sexual harassment out there.
Now, Eric, Trump seems to think that if you're a strong woman like his sister, you wouldn't be sexually harassed. He says, I think what my father was saying is Ivanka is a strong, powerful woman. I don't think she would allow herself to be subjected to that. I think that's the point he was making, and I think he did so well. Wow.
More ignorance, more stereotypes. Gretchen Carlson is a very strong woman. Megyn Kelly is a very strong woman. I am a very strong woman. I've been litigating sexual harassment cases for 30 years. I've been subjected to it by major people in the media and stood up to them. So let's stop blaming the victims. Let's stop assuming it only happens to weak women who are asking for it. You know, it's not the 1950s anymore. It's the 21st century. And let's get real about what sexual harassment is. It's an abuse of power. It's offensive. It's wrong. It's illegal. And the onus is on the perpetrators and the companies to make it stop. That's also the law.
Now, sexual harassment is on one end of a spectrum, the other end of which is rape, right? I mean, I think that's important for us to kind of contextualize it. This is a very, very serious issue. But don't companies make their higher-ups take training courses in sexual harassment and how to best handle it?
Yes, and let's not forget that Donald Trump himself has been accused of sexual assault by his first wife, Ivana, under oath in a court proceeding, and also recently in a federal court case that's been filed. And of course, he denies those charges, but I think those allegations are important to keep in mind. Ivanka said yesterday on a Fox News show, you know, that our companies take sexual harassment very seriously. We have a zero tolerance policy. You know, a lot of people say that. And guess what? Companies are required to take that position. They're not making a gift to their employees. That is the law. And when they have policies in place saying that they have zero tolerance, that people must report, they're doing that to immunize themselves in lawsuits. Then if people don't report, they can say, look, we have this policy and the person didn't take advantage of it. So the law is very clear that once a company gets a report of sexual harassment, and I encourage anyone who is harassed to report it in writing, keep a copy, maintain records, write down names of witnesses, keep texts, emails, or other evidence. Once you report it, the company has a legal obligation to do a prompt, thorough investigation, protect the victim, and punish the perpetrator. If they don't, the sexually harassed worker should then contact an attorney. And a lot of people contact me in that situation. If you are fired after complaining, you now have two claims. A retaliation claim as well as a sexual harassment claim. And those cases are even stronger than the original cases.
And I mentioned that two female employees, former employees of Trump's businesses have actually now come out, or it's been revealed that they were fired after they brought up allegations of sexual harassment. It would be really interesting for some investigative reporter to go through and see if they can find, or if they could make a comprehensive list of any and all sexual harassment claims, allegations, accusations, etc., within Trump Industries as a whole, because this is a person who's running to be president of the U.S.
Well, absolutely. The problem there is that so many cases are settled confidentially,
right?
Sometimes pre-litigation. And I myself am a part of that. I represent people who say, I don't want to litigate this case. I just want to get a payout so that I can get some money for therapy and to start a new life. And my obligation as an attorney is to my client. And so we do negotiate those deals. I honestly, Sonali, have very mixed feelings about it. Companies are supposed to keep records of those cases, and in the future, if that same perpetrator is accused again, you know, that's an extra mark on his record. But do I know that they're really doing that? No. You know, maybe we'll move to a time when there are no more confidential settlements in these cases. There are two women with accusations against Roger Ailes who have come out publicly recently, notwithstanding confidentiality agreements they signed, Rudy Bakhtiar and Lori Loon. So maybe we're moving into a new era on confidentiality.
And I think that's an important point as well, that this is a traumatic experience for women. Women don't come out and make accusations like this lightly. You bring attention on yourself. You essentially risk being called a liar. You may make yourself less employable just because we live in a sexist world. It's a very, very difficult thing for a woman who's been raped or even just sexually harassed to come out and do so publicly.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that empathy from you, and that's the empathy that we should all have. Listen, I have boxes of tissues in every office here in my law firm because my clients are often crying, weeping. You know, they get accused. When you accuse a company of something like this, you know, the company's going to fight back and accuse the women. They're going to find everything in their work performance they did wrong. They were 10 minutes late for work one day. They turned in a project late. They're going to talk about what they were wearing. We still get a lot of that, whether they consented, whether they made a remark back or not. You know, it's very, very painful. Some women are accused of complaining too soon. There was only one comment and they complained. What's the big deal? It was only one comment. Some women are accused of waiting too long. They put up with it for years and finally they reach their breaking point. You know, it's a lot to put up with. People should get a good, strong attorney who's going to fight for them. But I would also tell people it can be a very empowering experience. And I think most of my clients feel that way at the end. They were very scared going into it. They were afraid of what was going to happen to their lives. But once they stand up for themselves, you know, it's a whole new world and they feel very empowered and very strong at the end.
Now, lest we think this is just a problem among conservatives, Lisa, we should, I think, clarify that many liberals, many liberal institutions, many liberal leaders have also been guilty of sexual harassment, right?
Yeah, like Bill Clinton, for example.
Yes.
Listen, so in the 1990s, I was very critical of Bill Clinton, his behavior towards Paula Jones and Monica Lewinsky and other women who came forward against him. So it certainly isn't a conservative thing, a liberal thing. Sexual harassment, like rape, is a crime of power, and usually by men over women, although I have represented a number of male victims as well. And arrogance, you know, there are still, you'd be shocked at the cases that we have here in the law firm in 2016 of women who are groped in the workplace, who are propositioned, who are fired for failing to have sex with the boss. I mean, this still goes on, and it's really quite shocking.
Right. Now, the conversations that we hear from Trump and his supporters, setting aside this latest controversy on sexual harassment, is a constant complaining about this idea of political correctness. And I'm wondering how important that is to the topic we're discussing, because there are, sadly, people in the United States who support Donald Trump who think, hey, he just came out and finally said what I've been thinking. But it wasn't the idea of political correctness to simply have moral behavior, to simply treat one another with respect, something that Trump seems to be encouraging people to do away with.
Whenever I hear someone saying, I don't want to have to be politically correct, I hear that as, I don't want to have to be sensitive to people of another race. I don't want to have to be sensitive to people of another gender. Sexual harassment is not about political correctness. It's the law. It's the law that a generation of feminists fought for, about 30 years ago. And thank you to our foremothers who fought for these laws because they understood that we need to be protected in the workplace, that it's not okay for working women, many of whom support families, many of whom are single mothers, many of whom are the primary breadwinners in their families, to have to be treated like prostitutes in the workplace. I mean, it's just not acceptable. So, you know, telling women that they have to leave the company, just find a new career. You know, there's a real class issue there as well, Sonali. The idea that, oh, you can just, you know, relax and lean back and count on your big bank account and find another job or find another career. And by the way, what is the magical career where there is no sexual harassment? You know, having done these cases for a long time, I can tell you it's in every profession. Some are worse than others. The financial industry, for example, the restaurant industry, there's a lot of sexual harassment there. But it's everywhere. And that's just a ridiculous piece of advice for Donald Trump to give to his daughter or to any woman.
Right. Now, broadly speaking, the Republican Party has started to really freak out. They had been freaking out, of course, for a long time over Trump, some elements within the Republican Party. But in light of not just the comments around sexual harassment, but also earlier the spat between Trump and Khizr Khan, the Muslim man whose son was killed in the Iraq War, the Washington Post had an article saying that the GOP reaches new level of panic over Trump's candidacy. legacy. They're scared of trying to represent a person who seems just to not have much verbal discipline. But isn't it important for us to know the real Donald Trump?
Absolutely. And, you know, what's been amazing to me throughout the last year talking about Donald Trump is how many good people who support him want to dismiss the things that he says because they think, well, he says that, but that's not really who he is. And I think there's a lot of projecting. If you're a good person, you really can't imagine that someone is as bad as Donald Trump is on a daily basis. But I say to those people, remember the words of Dr. Maya Angelou. She said, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. Let's take Donald Trump at his word when he calls women dogs, pigs, when he mocks Megyn Kelly for asking him questions about his own words and implies that she was menstruating, when he says, women, you got to treat them like an expletive. I don't know if I can say on your air. Let's say dirt, right? When he's been accused by his first wife of sexual assault, and by the way, an accusation that she really has never completely taken back. When he's been accused by my client, Jill Harth, of sexual harassment, something that she maintains to this day. And now there's this new sexual assault case filed against him in federal court. I mean, let's take all of that together and size up the man for who he is. And I've only touched the surface of the gender issues. What, you know, the race issues are very well documented as well. I mean, this is a very, very scary man. And I think that's why President Obama came out yesterday and said he was unfit. And he wasn't like McCain or Romney, who we may have agreed with politically, but we understood were fundamentally decent people who had basic American values that we could agree on. Donald Trump is in a different category, and he is the scariest candidate I have seen in my lifetime. I'm 54 years old. I followed politics very closely all of my life, and he is really way out there in another category. To call him a sociopath, I don't think is an overstatement.
And finally, it looks like he's attempting to avoid having to debate Hillary Clinton. It's highly ironic that he's going to be facing the nation's first female presidential candidate.
Yes. I mean, isn't that something that we have the most misogynist candidate that I have ever seen against this historic, not only first female major presidential candidate, but a very clearly feminist candidate, a woman who has fought for other women and who has fought for children. And by the way, I was a Bernie supporter during the primaries, and now I'm a very proud Hillary supporter. I understand they agree on about 93% of the issues, according to one study. So, you know, 93% is pretty good. I'm a very enthusiastic supporter of Hillary Clinton now, and I think we all have to get behind her and vote for her.
Thank you so much for joining us today, as always, Lisa Bloom.
Thank you so much, Sonali. Have a great day.
Lisa Bloom is a trial attorney at the Bloom Firm and a legal analyst for AVO. She represents Jill Harth. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.